The posing of the problem, an important point. And when those who were near him heard this, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said, "He is out of his mind." And the multitude sat around him, and they said to him, "Look, thy mother and thy brothers are outside, seeking thee." But he answered them, saying, "Who is my mother, or my brothers?" Mark 3, verse 21, 32, and 33. When Christ Jesus had publicly accepted his official work, the assessment by the people, the criticism, came as well. What did that Nazarene want? What was he? It was a problem to all of them, but everyone posed the problem of this Nazarene in his own way. Mark tells us about it in his text. Two groups of people are described in this chapter, and with that we have a twofold posing of the problem. The one group said, "That Nazarene, he is out of his mind. He is in a frenzy, not accountable." The other group, on the other hand, claimed, "He certainly is accountable. He actually is a seasoned criminal. If you will only open your eyes to it, he is a silent companion of hell, a friend of Beelzebul, and his assistant." Thus the one group thought that one had to consider mitigating circumstances for the strange and irregular behavior of Jesus. That was well intended. Yet this posing of the problem did not take into account the absolute, decisive, critical, specific meaning of Christ's administration of his office. His ministry was a work of judgment, of crisis. Yet this first group, with its mitigating circumstances, robbed his work of this terrible and sovereign character. The other group, on the other hand, which considered him a silent associate of hell, did not in the least plead for mitigating circumstances. They explained the phenomenon of the Nazarene as being very serious. And they cried, "Everything here is very important. It is here, night or day, deceit or truth, heaven on earth or hell on earth." Look now at what both of these groups did. Soon the people of the first group came to Jesus and, in a gentle manner, to say it somewhat familiarly, yet characteristically, tried to get him to go home safely, so that he could not do any more harm. Do no more harm? To whom? To the people and to himself, these family members, who did not yet believe in him, would have said. To himself, thought Mary, who indeed did believe in him, but, just as the disciples once thought, remembered the words that the seal of God's house could devour someone. John 2, verse 17. Just let him go home. There he can become calm and catch his breath again. Behold, thy family is there and calls for thee. The first posing of the problem, which pleaded for mitigating circumstances, came from the relatives of Jesus, at least in part, and favored their conclusion to go home. They, as a group, did not like the outside world to get such a serious impression of Jesus as the Pharisees had, and as he himself appeared to have. And in the meantime the Pharisees continued to scoff, a companion of the devil. Take heed now to what Christ did. For he indeed knew himself to be a servant, an office bearer of God, duty bound to continual labor. He continued to work with the second group, and left the first group waiting outside. Even mother he left standing outside. He knew indeed that with his relatives the ties of blood were at work, and that their love spoke after the consultation of his family. He also knew that the Pharisees were dishonest, and that their posing of the problem was encouraged by dishonesty, that they were acting hypocritically. The first group was sincere, but not the second. And Christ knew that. But notice indeed that Christ did not weigh the chances and the duties of the holy war for the kingdom of heaven in accordance to the subjective intention of those who, from both sides, posed the problem. This weakness, which steadily causes Christianity to be removed further from its origin and from the justice of God could not be found in the Savior. No, he considered the duties of the holy war in the light of the objective presentation of the acts of war. He knew that the posing of the problem by his family, no matter how well intended subjectively, was yet objectively fatal for the kingdom of heaven. For they would actually expose the Sermon of the Mount to scorn on the pillory. If it was practiced, if it had been acted upon in all seriousness, it would have prevented faith in him, not only with those who agree with this understanding, but also with those who still want to study the issue for a while. If he would have given in to it from his side and had arranged his life's work according to it, or allowed his work to be dominated by it, he would have forever deprived himself and also the Church of her absolute, eternally decisive meaning. For that reason he did not go to Mother, nor to his brothers, no matter how much his blood also wanted to follow its desire, his soul also their soul. He did not go to the house of the family, where they intended things so well for him, but remained in the workshop, where they intended evil for him. For there he waged the battle for the great cause of God. That opportunity was given him also by the sharp posing of the problem, from God or from the devil. For indeed, with such a posing of the problem, one can at least do something. There the words of the Lord are at least not muffled away. Let all weak Christian people now be ashamed here. For their posing of the problem in regards to Christ and his work and word is becoming less dangerous by the day, and because of that more dangerous. They are less sharp and less theocentric. Let them be ashamed, for he who does not dare to confront himself with that, not from God, then from the devil, is never seriously dealing with the absolute meaning of Christ and his work. It is very disturbing to consider how many people have left the Church in the last while, not because they hate the Church, but because they have never felt the terrible power of the Church. This is a shame to us. Judgment does not begin with fierce heretics, but with weak Orthodox people. The first, at least, approach the question of for or against Christ sharply, while the others don't. Let us not forget that the house of those who dull the contrasts in controversies will come to judgment before blatant heretics. Christ cannot make history there, at least not with their cooperation. Only where people pose the problem sharply, he is making history, and in that way we cooperate with him.